Section 3. Aviation, Training for Large-Scale Combat Operations. Chapter 8. A Way to Prepare Aviation Units for Large-Scale Combat Operations. Introduction. Large-Scale Combat Operations, LISCO, demand Army Aviation, AVN, fights at a pace and tempo the majority of our serving officers, non-commissioned officers, NCOs, and soldiers have never encountered. The LISCO battlefield stretches the limits of our signal and sustainment enterprises. We no longer operate under the general expectation of continuous friendly air superiority. Ground forces are sometimes overmatched, and we face new threats from electronic and cyber warfare. As the Army Aviation Enterprise grapples with how to prepare for this new operating environment, our role as aviation unit leaders is to re-blue, retrain soldiers on a previous task, our frameworks and processes for training. Regardless of final concepts, we bear the responsibility to manage training resources, develop collective and individual task proficiency, and produce capable aviation units. How should we, as aviators, operations officers, NCOs, and leaders, prepare our organizations? How should we train our sections, platoons, companies, and battalions, BNs? What should be considered as we build a focused training plan for each of the warfighting functions, WFFs, within our organizations at Echelon to include joint and multinational training opportunities, courses, and processes? This chapter includes a series of A Ways to Operate from the perspective of the National Training Center's, NTC's, Eagle Team, using a long-range training plan approach to highlight focus areas and spur ideas and thoughts within your organization. In the broadest terms, every aviation leader should ask themselves, what training does our immediate organization need to accomplish in a gated training strategy? Have I, our organization's leader, provided input to the BNS3 to include that training in the unit's overall training strategy? Commanders must also ask, what does the team of teams need to do to be successful? Have I been involved to make the right decisions at the correct time? Have I driven training for the organization? Have I focused our training to meet our higher headquarters, HQ commander's, intent? It is easy to write about training, discuss it, and put it on a calendar. It is arduous to complete. Units must plan and execute individual continuous training, such as readiness level progressions, operator-level maintenance, and communications equipment use. Simultaneously, the unit must build toward large, complex training events and challenge leaders, subordinate units, and standard operating procedures, SOPs, with planning multiple flight operations over long distances based in an austere field environment, planning numerous jump-forward arming and refueling points, JFARPs, creating a robust primary, alternate, contingency, and emergency PACE plan for over-the-horizon and line-of-sight LOS communications, a PACE plan for each WFF, working for reporting to a participating headquarters while integrating into and supporting a ground scheme of maneuver. All of this takes place against the background personnel movements, new equipment fielding, and a litany of other unforeseen circumstances, which undoubtedly thwarts the operations officer's best-laid plans. Successful training demands effort from the entire unit. It requires a unit's staff members to understand and run with a commander's guidance and priorities while simultaneously seeking out additional opportunities. Ultimately, protecting individual continuation and platoon and company training, as well as staying focused on the commander's selected mission essential tasks, METs, allows the unit to get multiple repetitions at Echelon, get the most out of culminating training events, and prepare for its next challenge. Command and control. This section is presented as a building block for organizations to establish training plans, which develop command and control C2 capabilities and competencies throughout their force. Because of the varying leadership styles of commanders, levels of experience, and time available for each individual organization, this handbook does not provide specific examples. However, it details the processes to develop or refine products. The C2 WFF enables commanders to synchronize and converge all elements of combat power, Army Doctrine Publication ADP 60, Mission Command, Command and Control of Army Forces, 31 July 2019. The following text provides examples of individual training for members of the command post, CP, and discusses the structure of a CP to conduct the operations process. Building the base with individual training. The commander and personnel who occupy CPs are the most important aspects of the C2WFF. It is crucial these individuals fully understand their baseline task to exercise C2 over their unit in an austere setting. Some of this training takes place in the institutional domain. The remainder takes place in the operational and self-development domains, to include participating in unit collective training, attending troop schools or development courses, and conducting unit-driven leader professional development LPD sessions. Each staff section must understand how to properly employ and use Mission Command Information Systems, MCISs. Staffs who cannot use their systems are severely limited in their ability to perform required duties. Units generally must coordinate with higher echelons for introductory and sustainment training. For example, many installations offer troop schools on the Command Post of the Future, CPOF, and the Joint Capabilities Release, JCR, and/or Joint Battle Command Platform, JBCP. Every effort should be made to maximize these courses. Not every member of the team will be able to attend, but headquarters must conduct thorough analysis to ensure an adequate number of trained operators. The Air Cavalry Leaders Course, ACLC, Joint Firepower Course, JFC, and Battle Staff NCO Course, BSNCOC, are three highly recommended training courses. The ACLC and JFC provide a baseline understanding of how to integrate aviation as a maneuver element. The ACLC is ideal for allowing intelligence officers to visualize outcomes of Intelligence Preparation of the Battlefield, IPB, and present tangible enemy courses of action, COAs, to the commander to drive operational decisions. The BSNCOC provides staff NCOs baseline requirements to work on a staff. This is critical for the success of the entire headquarters, as staff primaries and staff NCOs must be interchangeable to conduct continuous operations. Each staff member must understand the larger concepts of staff operations to function effectively as a team. Units may conduct LPDs to familiarize the staff with terms and concepts and broaden their understanding of the operations process. Publications that spark interest and discussion in subsequent topics include Army Techniques Publication, ATP 3-04.1, Aviation Tactical Employment, 7 May 2020. Field Manual 3-04, Army Aviation, 6 April 2020. Field Manual 6-0, Commander and Staff Organization and Operations, 5 May 2014. ADP 5-0, The Operations Process, 31 July 2019. ADP 1-02, Terms and Military Symbols, 14 August 2018. ADP 3-0, Operations, 31 July 2019. Field Manual 3-0, Operations, 6 October 2017. ATP 2-01.3, Intelligence Preparation of the Battlefield, 1 March 2019. Plan, Conducting Future Operations as a Staff. The only way for staff members to improve collective planning skills is to train repeatedly on each step of the Military Decision-Making Process, MDMP. Whenever possible, the staff should train by planning an operation, for example, a Tactical Road March, TRM, an Assembly Area Protection Plan, etc., to build skills necessary for success. Even when the commander provides a directed COA, the staff can conduct thorough analysis to properly develop and analyze the COA. Developing Planning Standard Operating Procedures, PSOPs, to codify required products is a best practice for building shared understanding within a staff. It is also imperative to define which element, staff, or company will conduct certain portions of planning for specific missions to maximize parallel planning. Through a combination of ATP 3-04.1, Aviation Tactical Employment, the U.S. Army Aviation Center of Excellence, USAACE Aviation Handbook, and the Standardized MET Training and Evaluation Outline, TNEO, units can develop checklists to ensure each aspect and consideration of a specific mission is conducted. The first essential step to planning is the analysis of time available and development of a planning timeline. This ensures timely dissemination of products to subordinates, one-third, two-thirds rule, establishes a clear delineation over time between current operations, COOPs, and future operations, FOOPs for the staff, and sets a tangible end state for product dissemination. Many units have adopted the use of a higher operational planning enemy HOPE timeline, see Table 8-1 on pages 90 and 91, to synchronize events over time. To maximize the time available to plan tactical aviation missions, units must develop baseline plans for anticipated routine events such as TRMs, jump sequences, and the Tactical Assembly Area TAA Base Defense Plan. Both events can be major movements for the unit, but with advanced planning, impact can be minimized. Task forces, TFs, can develop both plans at home station and adjust based on mission, enemy, terrain and weather, troops and support available, time available, civil considerations, mission variables, MET TC, placing them somewhere between a battle drill and a deliberate plan. The base defense plan is further defined in the Protection WFF section of this chapter. While training and planning TRMs jump sequences, areas of specific consideration should include rapid C2 transition between the main command post, MCP, and the tactical command post, TAC. The individual staff members and corresponding MCISs required to properly conduct C2 from the TAC. The sequencing or timing of the jump to minimize mission impact. Do not make your culminating exercise easy. Jump your MCP and use your TAC. Prepare the transition. Future operations to current operations handover. The FOOPs to COOPs transfer is often a point of friction. Special emphasis and training must be placed on the transition to ensure continuity of operations and command. Timing can vary by day or mission depending on the time available. A well-designed planning timeline has multiple touchpoints to ensure all necessary information is transferred from WFF plan sections to COOPs counterparts. These touchpoints could include planners attending and briefing at least one shift change each day, COOPs section attendance TF rehearsals, and detailed one-on-one discussions between the planners and COOPs cell. Rehearsals at echelon are fundamental to ensure the plan is understood across the TF. Depending on the time available, units can choose to do any of the rehearsals outlined in Field Manual 6.0. Unit rehearsal scripts should be sequence key events over time and integrate enablers and WFFs. In addition to the TF rehearsal, CPs should be trained to execute follow-on CP rehearsals which ensure common understanding of the fighting products, identify systems on which information will be passed, and clarify which pieces of information are vital to the mission. Conducting current operations as a staff. Functions common to all CPs include conducting knowledge and information management, building and maintaining situational understanding, controlling and assessing operations, coordinating with internal and external organizations, performing CP administration. An efficient CP is the most important factor in the TF's ability to conduct C2. Every CP should be competent and capable in the functions of a CP. Field Manual 3-04, paragraph 2-82, page 218, defines an aviation MCP's primary mission as to control operations, maintain situational understanding, inform the commander's decisions, and prepare and publish orders and plans. To build proficiency, the MCPs and TACs must be established on a routine basis during unit events such as command maintenance, gunnery, and field training exercises, FTXs, or solely to practice battle drills. CP training focus must include attention to layout, products, and the common operational picture, COP. The COP provides the commander the information necessary to make decisions. A graphic depiction of the area of operations, AO, creates situational awareness for all the missions an aviation TF may conduct. At a minimum, units should include the following overlays on their COP: friendly situation, with maneuver graphics and adjacent unit locations; enemy situation, logistics COP, log COP, medical common operational picture, med COP; fires and airspace, depicting active and occupied position areas for artillery, PAAs. Staff estimates from all WFFs provide a shared understanding across the CP. Units should consider who will and how to pull the requisite data for all products on the COP. Units can use an analog COP, digital COP, or a combination of both. Battle drills and battle rhythms are vital to creating shared understanding. Units should revise and train battle drills on a regular basis to ensure they cover the broad range of events and contingencies expected in the current operational environment, removing or altering legacy counterinsurgency coin-focused products. Signal systems, the instrument of command and control. Training on C2 systems should be a deliberate, continuous, sequential, and progressive part of the larger unit training plan, UTP. Training must adapt to the environment and conditions of emerging threats. Commanders should look at incorporating denied and degraded communications environments during home station training to prepare their formations for the rigors of the projected operating environment. Units should train to proficiency in all of their organic and requested over-the-horizon, OTH, communication systems. Signalier training should progress from an individual focus on fundamentals to a crew focus on operation and maintenance of assigned systems to a section focus on establishing communication nodes to the integration with the warfighter. Units can use the signal assessment tables from Training Circular TC6-02.1, the United States Army Signal Corps 2019 Training Strategy, 11 July 2019, to communicate and organize individual and collective communication training requirements. Signaliers should train to rapidly employ equipment in austere conditions without external support resources. For example, per Technical Manual TM11-5985-357-13, Operators Organizational and Direct Support Maintenance Manual for Antenna Group, OE-254/GRC, 1 February 1991, a three-man retransmission crew should be able to establish communication nets using OE-254 antennas relatively quickly. The Mission Command Digital Master Gunner, MCDMG, and a Signal Digital Master Gunner, SDMG, are responsible for training signal soldiers and the larger battle staff to integrate, visualize, and troubleshoot the primary MCIS. They are also trained to generate a COP for the commander and battle staff using a unit's integrated system of systems CP. Units can register for the MCDMG course, School Code 150, Course Code 9ESI/ASI5C/920-ASI5C-CT, and the SDMG course, School Code 113, Course Code 531-F75-CT. Regardless of the specific system selected, it is imperative the S6 develops and trains a comprehensive PACE communications plan for all phases of exercises and operations. PACE plans should be determined for each WFF and allow for beyond line of sight, BLOS, and extended LOS communication. Intelligence. An aviation BN intelligence section contributes to training by developing creative training scenarios using IPB, information collection, and the TC7-100 series for hybrid threat, and TC7-100.2, Opposing Force Tactics, 9 December 2011, to inform training operations and commanders' decisions. Aviation units train to fight in operations environments, which encompass a wide range of enemy units and capabilities employing traditional, unconventional, and hybrid tactics. This includes training to counter a wide spectrum of threats from small arms, man-portable air defense systems, man pads, and Air Defense AD systems employed independently or as part of an integrated AD system. Once task proficiency is achieved under base conditions, units can alter scenarios to replicate projected operational environments, more complex or lethal threats, and conditions that require leaders to adapt to degraded or denied capabilities. Aviation intelligence sections can develop progressive internal, individual, and collective section training using the Military Intelligence Training Strategy, MITS, TC2-19.400 series, along with a long-range training plan before warfighters or military intelligence, MI, gunnery events. MITS development at the individual and collective level allows S2s to be proactive. Since aviation intelligence sections do not often participate in MI gunnery, training missions need to include intelligence requirements from higher headquarters to properly stress intelligence professionals from Tier 4 to Tier 1 training. Aviation BNS2s can turn to the Army Training Network, ATN, or Combined Arms Training Strategy, CATS, for the 301 series for individual MI tasks such as Basics of IPB, 052-12 Yankee series for supporting Geospatial Intelligence, GEOINT analysts, 011-150 Uniform series for Unmanned Aircraft Systems, UASs, or 011-ACC for crew mission briefings. The ATN and CATS also provide recommended collective intelligence training for 34-SEC-0600 series for fusion tasks, 34-SEC-3170 or 3180 series for information collection and targeting, or 05-PLT-6000 or 301-35 Golf series for geospatial data collection and information, ATN. Higher echelon intelligence sections and external organizations such as Project Foundry 2.0, mission training complexes, and intelligence electronic warfare tactical proficiency trainers, IEWTPTs, can support TF intelligence personnel with home station training and realistic threat scenarios. Foundry classes recommended for aviation S2s are the Intelligence, Surveillance, and Reconnaissance, ISR, Information Collection Manager course and, for a strong analyst or assistant S2, the Analytical Writing for Military Occupational Specialty, MOS 35 Foxtrot, Intelligence Analyst, Analysts course. Foundry training is typically coordinated through unit-level foundry managers with their higher headquarters foundry manager, supported by Army Regulation AR-350-32, Army Foundry Intelligence Training Program, 2 June 2015. Other external organizations, such as a Brigade MOS 35 Tango, MI Systems Maintainer Integrator, can provide a BN with additional systems or intelligence architecture training on their equipment, including the Distributed Common Ground System Army, DCGSA, Capability Drop 1, CD1, Joint Battle Command Platform, JBCP, and One System Remote Video Terminal, OSRVT. Systems integration into effective intelligence architecture is challenging and requires additional training outside of initial intelligence schoolhouse classes. This can be done in conjunction with CP exercises, staff MDMP sessions, and support to platoon and above training at home station, building to full IPB in support of MDMP for COOPs and FUOPs. Many aviation BN commanders choose to have an aviation captain as the S2 officer in charge, OIC, in lieu of the Modified Table of Organization and Equipment, MTO, MI Lieutenant. This requires the other MI officers and NCOs in the intelligence section to supplement specific gaps in systems knowledge. BNs may also resource additional analytical support and training for the BN from Air Force Squadron Weather Officers. Since aviation BN S2 teams do not have organic GEOINT resources, it is recommended to request additional GEOINT support and train with MOS 35 Golf GEOINT Analyst and MOS 12 Yankee Imagery Analyst with a GEOINT workstation and installed Movement Intelligence MOVINT client. The 12 Yankee can use the unit's OSRVT for real-time UAS or manned aircraft video for CP operations to enhance situational understanding. The intelligence train-up must include focus on the intelligence pace plan to higher and adjacent units. A full intelligence pace plan allows the aviation intelligence section to share vital crew debriefs and full motion video of reconnaissance objectives, and collaborate across the battlefield despite long line of communications, locks, environmental and enemy effects on communications, and general friction. Aviators see more of the battlefield by simply doing their job than most other soldiers. It is imperative to gather an aviator's debrief information and get it to the intelligence professionals across the formations. Aviation S2 section's training, systems, and product readiness are paramount to mission success. Intelligence officers can pull from a variety of training internal and external resources to ensure their team is prepared for a mission. Home station training and IPB production with updated analysis in Intelligence Warfighting Function, IWFF products, set conditions for MDMP and intelligence and information collection, and enhance staff and commander's understanding of the deployed operational environment. Movement and maneuver. A thought-out, realistic, and feasible UTP is essential for any organization to prepare for deployment. This section examines what the Eagle Team sees as the most important focus areas for aviation units while at home station. It discusses individual, company, and BN-level training objectives, staff focuses, and away philosophy for WFF progression and integration within an aviation BN squadron TF. Field Manual 7-0, Train and Win in a Complex World, 5 October 2016, prescribes a series of planning considerations for commanders and staffs during long-range training calendar COA development. It lays out parameters for deciding training objectives within commander's guidance. Companies must develop plans internally which enable continuation training while building to larger BN and brigade training events. Units can focus on low-density training, crew chief MOS certification, readiness level RL progression of new maintainers for lift aircraft, a crew chief training program for attack maintainers, proper maintenance procedures in garrison and austere environments. Sergeant's time training may emphasize pre-combat checks, PCCs, pre-combat inspections, PCIs, load plans, rehearsing and executing convoy operations, combat lifesaver CLS certification, recertification, aviation life support equipment. The BN operations officer and commander must protect this time on the training calendar. Companies can develop warrant officers by ensuring professional military education and through career progression courses to improve specialty skills. Companies should also put emphasis on developing company-level standards for pilot-in-command, PC, and air mission commander, AMC, progression, and on growing the bench through RL progressions. Aviator classes should be driven from the BN level with focus areas for weekly briefs. Classes should be taught by individual company PCs, pilot instructors. Academic classes build individual knowledge and enhance training for pilots and crew chiefs. Important aviator classes include Air Crew Training Enhanced, Enemy Threat Systems and Capabilities, Classified and Unclassified, Friendly Indirect Fire Systems and Capabilities, Friendly Vehicle Identification, Survival, Evasion, Resistance and Escape, SEER, Airspace Coordination Order, Airspace Tasking Order, Special Instructions, Functions and Operation of a Company CP. Protecting individual and company-level training while supporting their parent division's brigade combat teams is a challenge for Aviation Battalion Task Forces, ABTFs. There is no perfect scenario where an aviation BN's training cycle is integrated and protected within the Combat Aviation Brigade, CAB, and division. The commander and staff members must thoroughly evaluate their BN Mission Essential Task List, MEDL, to determine a focus for the training cycle. It is imperative an ABTF UTP ensures time is available for company training events, Company training objectives are identified, and company-level training resources are provided and coordinated. Generating a UTP determines priorities for individual-level training, such as RL progressions, PC and AMC validation, driver's training, and CLS. When focusing the company on individual tasks, ensure to include junior officer development with programs such as Air Assault Planning Academies or SOP working groups. A UTP could be conducted using the following three phases. Self-evaluation. In this phase, company commanders assess their mettle and develop UTPs that provide small unit leaders a framework for planning and preparing for operations in accordance with BN training guidance. Commanders should issue their intent, prioritize efforts, and conduct mission analysis to determine the time and resources needed so BNs can forecast and coordinate levels of support. When incorporated into daily operations, such as training meetings, aircrew briefings, PC meetings, and key planning meetings, this information provides bottom-up refinement to BN MDMP. Preparation. This phase identifies training and evaluation objectives. Units should prioritize their METs as they design training scenarios that accomplish the commander's end state. Aviation BNs are encouraged to balance UTP requirements with scenarios constructed to make the most realistic BN-level FTXs possible. Staffs should pursue available training aids to achieve the most payoff, integrating aviation assets into adjacent BCTs training events that can be tailored to meet aviation requirements. Units should incorporate each WFF. For example, the fire cell should be empowered to incorporate constructed assets into crew and platoon training to provide suppression of enemy air defenses, SEED. The intelligence section should be given latitude to construct a dynamic and reactive enemy force against which to train. The operations section should build a realistic, feasible, and friendly scenario to include a supported ground unit, adjacent units, and echelons above brigade EAB assets. The BN plan section should strive to leverage organic personnel or adjacent units to provide a live opposing force, OPFOR. Staff members may also use simulated training opportunities such as the Aviation Combined Arms Tactical Trainer, AVCAT, or on-post mission training centers. Constructing one or two operation orders, OPORDs, per MET that crews may select to train on is a successful tactic, technique, and procedure, TTP, whether in the simulator, AVCAT, or in the field, to get multiple repetitions exercising C2 and synchronization of WFFs. Execution. Commanders' involvement and continuous assessment are crucial. Companies guide execution with SOPs and thus should develop and continually refine SOPs, which cover everything from specific duties and responsibilities for each member of a planning cell to priorities of work during the occupation of an aviation TAA. Companies should focus on delineating duties, checklists, timelines, and rehearsals, as well as clearly identifying standards and required meetings. Rehearsals are invaluable. Time must be allotted to conduct a company rehearsal to cover additional details from the higher headquarters' rehearsal. An FTX should allow a commander to exercise their SOP during a 24-hour timeline. Responsibilities and fundamentals should be enforced at all levels, including load plans, the Airspace Control Order, ACO, and communication security, COMSEC distribution, and should be executed as they would in combat. Security is critical for aviation units and should be included in home station training. BN security prevents or interdicts enemy efforts to observe or attack friendly forces in the vicinity of forward arming and refueling points, FARPs, assembly, staging, and holding areas. Local security is an enduring priority of work and prevents units from being surprised. Continuous reconnaissance and patrolling are active local security measures. Training must include the use of camouflage, noise and light discipline, reduction of electronic signatures, movement control, and ground and air sensors use. In training, as in combat, planners should synchronize with the supported unit's scheme of maneuver as early as possible and maintain an open dialogue. Units should send liaison officers, LNOs, to units they habitually support to find combined training opportunities at Echelon. As examples, company AMC training can integrate with platoon and company maneuver exercises conducted by a home station BCT, and advanced gunnery tables can be completed in conjunction with field artillery FA ranges. This integration leads to better execution during large-scale training or real-world operations that focus on enduring unit orders or operation plans, OPLANs. UAS platforms are essential to the movement and maneuver and intelligence warfighting functions. They are used to maintain freedom of maneuver for ground forces, employ munitions on high-value targets, HVTs, high-payoff targets, HPTs, detect enemy movements and compositions, and extend LOS communications. However, UAS Gray Eagle companies, Geckos, and Shadow Platoons, SPLTs, often spend their time on RL progressions, internal programs, and training. Higher headquarters staff sections consequently exclude UAS operators and MOS 150 uniforms, UAS's operations technicians, warrant officer, from their planning and rehearsals. This results in a lack of understanding, miscommunication, frustration, distrust, and ultimately, poor mission execution. UAS formations and aviation headquarters staff members must have shared understanding of the mission, intent, and capabilities. Shared understanding can be achieved with adequate planning, preparation, and long-term training incorporating both elements. In one model for collaborative training, the staff includes the Gecko/SPLT subject matter experts, SMEs, in their pre-planning processes and rehearsals to understand how to employ UASs in contested airspace. The UAS formation begins its training to ensure operators are all current and RL1. The unit operations officer incorporates the UAS by taking every opportunity to train during company and BN-sized training events. Smaller events allow the UAS operators to work closely and coordinate directly with the units they will regularly support during combat operations. Events culminate with brigade and higher-level training exercises. Throughout an ABTF's UTP execution, terrain flight and tactical proficiency must be at the forefront of all individual, platoon, and company troop training missions. The high-altitude tactics, which characterized our last 20 years of generally uncontested airspace, are no longer survivable. The Standardization and Aviation Mission Survivability Officer, AMSO, sections must incorporate a feasible and safe plan to progress aviators to the level of proficiency required to survive in an integrated AD system environment. UTPs should involve team and platoon-level movement and maneuver techniques, and masking, unmasking, and mitigating air defense artillery, ADA, threats in all applicable flight profiles. NCO involvement is crucial to training plan success. Commanders and the command sergeants major, CSMs, need to clearly define roles and responsibilities of senior NCOs. Flight companies must involve key enlisted personnel in mission planning and training, and rehearse with crew chiefs, armament personnel, and forward support company, FSC, NCOs, to ensure mutual understanding before execution. Commanders and field-grade staff officers shoulder the burden of balancing external taskings to maneuver units within a brigade or division while protecting their own training objectives and integrating them with those supported ground units. Aviation units must identify long-range training calendar needs, protect their time, and integrate as early as possible to build relationships with the supported units and attached aviation assets from within the CAB. Commanders must give priority by supported ground units, allowing the aviation BN to identify opportunities to achieve aviation-specific metal tasks and validate systems. Fires. Operations over the past 20 years have accustomed aviation BN fire cells to operate under an assumption of air superiority. However, when planning for and conducting training in preparation for COOPs and FUOPs, the fire's WFF must fully integrate and synchronize with all WFFs within the ABTF. This section discusses the integration of FIRE's training objectives in Gunnery Tables Digital Sustainment Training, DST, with the Advanced Field Artillery Tactical Data System, AFATADS, and the development and standardization of FIRE's products used in the unit's FUOP cell and COOP cells. The FIRE Support Officer, FSO, must focus and synchronize training with the following questions in mind. Are FIRE's WFF training objectives included in BN training events? Is the FIRE cell capable of employing the AFATADS to integrate joint fires, coordinating seed missions, communicating with key mission command systems, MCSs, assisting with planning, and maintaining situational awareness for COOPs? What fighting products will the FIRE cell develop because of the MDMP that will achieve the commander's intent and create shared understanding? Unit-scheduled training events must be scrutinized to ensure each WFF at echelon is trained to its fullest. The FIRE cell within an ABTF, led by the FSO, should work with the operations officer to develop FIRE-related training objectives during routine unit training events such as gunnery. For example, each table of an aviation gunnery scenario should include a form of FIRE's training. The FSO can work with the unit's intelligence section to create a gunnery scenario with an enemy AD threat requiring the need for seed missions before aircraft reaches their battle position, BP, including the triggers for the seed and pace plan to initiate fires. Practicing scenario development can achieve multiple additional training objectives for the ABTF staff while also achieving the commander's key task of certifying sections in gunnery tables. Integration of the FIRES and intelligence warfighting functions, development of the FIRE cell's role in rehearsals, execution of the FIRES pace plan, and increased familiarization with the AFATADS are just a few of the many training objectives that can be practiced and refined early in a unit's training plan to train as you fight and train multi-echelon and combined arms, as stated in TC3-09.8, Fire Support and Field Artillery Certification and Qualification, 30 March 2020. ABTF long-range training plans should coordinate with higher echelon staffs and adjacent unit fires units, including regularly scheduled AFATADS training for the ABFT fire cell. FA units across the Army continue to focus on the use of digital fires and employ DST as the tool to create digital system experts throughout the entire fires kill chain. DST is a training plan designed specifically to address FA digital systems. The ABTF fire cell benefits from participation in a DST plan with the home station artillery units or, if more feasible, the CAB if it has its own DST plan. This allows the FSO and Fire Support Non-Commissioned Officer, FSNCO, to address and correct training shortfalls before employing the AFATADS in multi-echelon training and operations exercises where integration into brigade, division, and corps airspace structure is critical to safe and effective aviation operations. Companies should develop and continually refine SOPs, which cover everything from specific duties and responsibilities for each member of a planning cell to priorities of work during the occupation of an aviation TAA. Companies should focus on delineating planning cell OIC duties, checklists, timelines, and rehearsals, as well as clearly spelling out the standards and required meetings. Rehearsals are invaluable. Time must be allotted to conduct a company rehearsal to cover additional details from the higher headquarters' rehearsal. Developing, standardizing, and continually refining fire cell fighting products throughout the home station training cycle pays dividends. The FSO must have a dialogue with the operations officer and commander to understand the intent for fire's fighting products. The end user of products, such as the Target List Worksheet, TLWS, and the concept of fires should have a voice in which fighting products are useful and beneficial, especially when operating from the cockpit. Once products are finalized, the fire cell should publish the products in the unit's PSOP. This process familiarizes companies on products they receive from their higher headquarters. The FIRES WFF cannot be an afterthought throughout an entire home station training cycle and only become relevant during large operations or training exercises. Fire's basic training tasks should continue to be included at the crew level through complex seed missions in advanced gunnery tables that train the entire BN staff and pilots simultaneously. Sustainment. The Aviation S4 is responsible for coordination of all external and internal logistical support to include supply, maintenance, and transportation. The S4 must establish a working relationship with adjacent and supporting units to include the Aviation Support Battalion, ASB, Brigade Support Battalion, BSB, and the Combat Sustainment Support Battalion, CSSB. S4s should seek to integrate and train with these partner units as early and often as possible. The S4's understanding of the operational environment and how sustainment enables COOPs and FUOPs is critical to the unit's success. Forecasting consumption of commodities, particularly Classes 3 and 5, is vital. It is critical the FSC adopts a training plan that encompasses all aspects of FARPs. See Field Manual 3-04, Army Aviation, 6 April 2020. Building FARPs into home station training, supporting missions and gunnery with an appropriately sized FARP in a nearby training area is a successful best practice. For example, units might deploy one or two fuel trucks along with required security and a robust pace plan to a nearby training area and conduct refuel operations for an AMC progression flight. As per ATP 3-04.17, Techniques for Forward Army and Refueling Points, 4 June 2018, FARP training plans should include weapons training and familiarization, firefighting and rescue procedures, chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear seaburn detection and decontamination, self and buddy aid procedures, safety procedures at the FARP, sling load operations, day and night land navigation proficiency, night vision goggles, NVG training, extensive driver's training, convoy procedures, FARP maintenance operations and procedures, spill containment training. FARP security is especially critical. Soldiers need to be comfortable engaging targets from all positions. Executing a convoy protection platform, CPP gunnery, Gunnery Tables 1 through 9 per TC 4-11.46, Convoy Protection Platform, CPP, Collective Live Fire Exercises, 6 March 2019, is a months-long process and the first step to ensuring internal security during convoys. Gunnery and training on how to fill out range cards assists in establishing security at a FARP. Scheduling General Support Aviation Battalion, GSAB, and Assault Helicopter Battalion, AHB, training events with the Attack Battalion, ABFSC, mitigates the lack of an organic Class 5 section within the GSAB and AHB distribution platoons. Incorporating the armament personnel from an AB's Delta D Company is a necessity when it comes to Class 5 planning to ensure the required special tools, people, and equipment are at the FARP. Units must become proficient in establishing multi-mission design series, MDS, FARPs, and JFARPs. JFARP use increases as the current operational environment develops and site selection becomes a priority to sustain mission requirements. Units should ensure the FARP meets unit mission requirements, provides support throughout all battlefield conditions, and avoids threat observation and engagement. As the support to training progresses, a logistics package, log pack, to resupply the FARP will be required to continue support to larger operations such as gunnery and BN-level FTXs. All soldiers need to be trained on their assigned equipment in accordance with Army Regulation AR-600-55, the Army Driver and Operator Standardization Program, 17 September 2019. Driver's training must teach soldiers how to perform preventive maintenance checks and services, PMCS, to assigned equipment in accordance with the operator's manual and properly fill out Department of the Army DA Forms 5988E and 2404 Equipment Maintenance and Inspection Worksheet, arguably the most important step in the preventative maintenance program. The Aviation Maintenance Company, which sustains operations and forecasts aviation maintenance for the commander, is another critical sustainment element. When planning training or operations, modularity in Army aviation is crucial. Low-density tools and special skills must be planned. Aviation maintenance is the foundation for providing continuous aviation mission support to the Ground Force Commander, GFC. It is important key leaders within the formation continuously evaluate the unit's ability to perform the required level of maintenance necessary to meet the GFC's intent. It is the commander's responsibility to plan, prepare, execute, and assess UTPs, which not only results in a unit proficiency in executing METs, but also incorporates low-density or small-section training opportunities to improve individual task proficiencies and contribute to overall unit readiness. The identification of maintenance requirements is a critical and often overlooked step in mission analysis. Key maintenance leaders, including AMSOs, PCOICs, and aviation maintenance company commanders, must be included in MDMP and BN-level meetings and rehearsals. These touch points assist in identifying operational and maintenance requirements, synchronizing maintenance requirements in the most efficient manner possible. By integrating key maintenance leaders, the executive officer, XO, can drive maintenance decisions and prioritize actions early in the planning process, maximizing combat power to support the operation. Incorporating maintenance running estimates into MDMP allows the ABTF to identify limitations of available combat power and develop appropriate and realistic COAs before execution. An aviation maintenance company must have the capability to conduct split-based operations within and across an entire theater to help maintain and generate combat power for the ABTF. The aviation maintenance company is responsible for training field-level maintenance in accordance with the maintenance allocation, including downed aircraft recovery teams, DARTs, and battle damage assessment and repair, BDAR. DARTs and BDAR are key to any unit trying to maintain combat power after receiving battle damage and unscheduled maintenance issues. Commanders have to incorporate DART battle drills into their training plan and ensure aircraft recovery is briefed at every rehearsal. Company SOPs must include a downed aircraft recovery section that outlines basic recovery procedures for damaged or disabled aircraft. BN-level DART battle drills and training should aim to improve proficiency in ground convoy operations, aerial recovery kit installation, battle damage or repair, and security team emplacement. Routine maintenance meetings, trained preventative maintenance at home station, and maintenance training conducted while in austere environments improve maintenance support to operations. Sustainment training is critical for the success of an ABTF and can be planned at echelon from section platoon training to large BN events to build capacity. Protection. The protection WFF is the related tasks and systems that preserve the force so the commander can apply maximum combat power to accomplish the mission. Preserving the force includes protecting personnel and physical assets and is more than just security and defensive operations. Key protection tasks include survivability operations, health protection, seaburn operations, area security, and electromagnetic EM protection. The first step in planning protection is establishing a protection working group. This group consists of commanders, CSMs, and key and special staff members. Attendees include the S2, S3, S6, standardization instructor pilots, safety officer, AMSO, medical officer, MEDO, seaburn specialist, and electronic warfare EW specialist. The commander must prioritize what to protect and then delegate the proper authority to the appropriate leaders to develop a feasible scheme of protection, which is then coordinated with higher echelon and adjacent units. Once the protection scheme of maneuver is developed, the unit can determine its protection requirements, develop a training plan, and publish a protection order. The Headquarters and Headquarters Company, HHC Commander, with the experience and guidance of the CSM, is responsible for managing the TAA protection plan, including specialized team training related to TAA security. Examples of specialized protection teams are the quartering party, TAA security, day and night, quick reaction forces, QRFs, day and night, observation posts, OPs, enemy prisoners of war, CLSs, personnel decontamination, and vehicle aircraft decontamination. TAA security teams require a combination of individual and collective training to be effective. Focused by the BNCSM and training officer, weekly sergeant's time training is an effective training window for many security and protection-related tasks. A weekly sergeant's time training battle rhythm provides multiple training opportunities per quarter, which can be briefed and approved during quarterly training briefs. Soldier Training Publication, STP 21-1-SMCT, Soldier's Manual of Common Tasks, Warrior Skills, Level 1, 7 November 2019, defines many key individual and team training tasks that directly relate to security tasks in shoot, move, communicate, and survive categories. Once the teams are trained and qualified at individual tasks, it is important to train the entire force during a major collective training event. An FTX is a suitable event for the commander to assess their unit's protection scheme of maneuver. A limited OP4 to test security and roving patrols and civilians on the battlefield are useful to include in an FTX, along with real-world protection of aviation assets. Considerations for protection training during an FTX include occupying an assembly area, quartering party operations, establishing and maintaining local security, employing camouflage, reacting to indirect fire, reacting to contact, conducting QRF operations, responding to civilians on the battlefield, reacting to a chemical attack, electronic jamming, personnel recovery, medical evacuation, medevac, and mass casualty, mass cal operations. Training the unit to rapidly jump to a new location and practicing split-based operations is critical to protection and survivability. Does your unit have a prepared scatter plan for the TAA? LISCO taxes and usually overwhelms ground and air ambulance capabilities. Air ambulance companies and aviation BNTFs that are not accustomed to commanding medevac assets need to use air ambulance exchange points, AXPs, rather than pushing forward to the point of injury. Building a robust casualty evacuation, CASEvac training plan for deep operations, along with the AXPs far enough forward to relieve the pressure on ground transport from ground unit Roll 1 facilities, stresses the Meadows and flight medics training and SOPs. An air ambulance company can operate in 4 different locations and should be trained for the challenge of maintaining a current med cop for each assigned area. Other critical tasks to train on are the higher headquarters' aviation or ground procedures to request a medevac through a robust PACE plan and for the appropriate launch authority to give mission approval even during TAA jumps. The BN aid station must also practice its mass cal SOP and chemical, biological, radiological, nuclear, and explosives CBRN-E response with the BN chemical officer. For example, contaminated casualty collection points, CCPs, clean treatment areas, etc. Realistic training plans must test all aspects of the protection WFF. For example, training events might include an attack on an assembly area causing the activation of the security teams and a mass cal event with potential follow-on medevac CASEvac operations, a multi-pronged event that includes security teams, CBRN-E response, medevacs, and mass cals can be part of a BN's culminating training event. A BN-developed protection scheme of maneuver provides a framework for manning, equipment, and training requirements. Continually assessing security and protection requirements and adjusting based on MET-TC improves unit survivability and provides the commander with maximum combat power to accomplish the mission.